Jeremiah chapter 6. The prophet Jeremiah, some 20 years before Israel goes into captivity, he receives this from the Lord. Now, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. That is because he was constantly crying over Jerusalem, crying over the state of God's people, the state in which that they were operating in their lives, not operating at a level that God could really bless, but operating outside of God's parameters, outside of His best plan for their lives. And so Jeremiah, in verse 16, this is what he records. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. And then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Now, we find out that 20 years later, Nebuchadnezzar invades Jerusalem and God's people are go into captivity. This is really a warning that he's telling them. But as I apply this verse today, that we would stand, in one translation, that we would stand at the crossroads. That we would stand at the crossroads and say, God, show us the ancient path. Show us the old school road, if you will. This series has been called Old School, Some Things Never Go Out of Style. Last week, I went through line by line of the Apostles' Creed. And why is that so vital for us to even be familiar with it? Now, in our church traditions, we don't recite it. I don't think it's a terrible thing to recite. In our church traditions, we typically kind of We kind of shy away from doing everything by rote. But sometimes we miss some things because we don't. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Just because we're not as formal doesn't mean that the core value and the core belief is not the same as the Apostles' Creed. And so we walked through every single line of the Apostles' Creed last week in Old School Part 1. Today it's part 2, Old School Road. Old School Road. Well, if you are going to a destination and you're trying to find your way, you need a map, don't you? Well, God's given us a map in the New Testament, and that map points totally to Jesus. And if you've been around church for much of your life at all, you might have heard the term Romans Road. Anybody heard that term, Romans Road? All right. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through the Romans Road today. The Romans Road. Say, what is the Romans Road? Maybe you've never heard of it. Well, the Romans Road is affectionately referred to in many of the circles that I grew up in as literally as a way to point out how somebody can become a Christian, how they can find Christ and solidify their faith. It's not about joining a specific church or putting a label on the outside of yourself. But as it says there in Jeremiah 6:16, that stand in the ways and see, ask for the old paths. You see, society at this stage, in the old school road for Jeremiah, it was in chaos, much like it is for us today. But I think if we'll be bold enough to say, God, show us the old school road. Show us the old school road. Because some ways are still the right way. Some things never go out of style, the old school way. If you listen to a lot of people in our culture today, they're like, oh, that's old school. We want new school. We want everything new. We don't want to deal with anything old because somehow old is really bad, right? I mean, that's what we hear a lot in our society, on social media. And, you know, there are some things, and I mentioned this last week, there are some things that we need to leave in the dustbin of history, right? There are some things even in our past as a nation, even in our past as a Christian church, by and large, we'd like to leave some of that junk in the past. Am I right? We can. But we can still embrace the good, because some things never go out of style. There are certain things that are based in God's word that you can hang on to, that you can, if you will, you can bank on it. You can take it to the bank. So in the Roman world, I did a little research on this, and I'm a history geek, as you know. And one of the things I found out is that, you know, there are still roads today in Europe that lead to Rome. There are still roads that were made before the time of Christ that are being utilized. I found an interesting fact for those of you military buffs. In World War II, how many of you ever heard of General Patton? Remember her? General Patton? He was a rough guy, wasn't he? He was a rough guy. Well, General Patton actually used ancient Roman roads to defeat the Nazis. He actually took his tanks, found out where the ancient roads were, and that's how he was able at times to cut off and to defeat Nazi Germany. Fascinating, fascinating little tidbit of history. So Roman roads were an intersection. Everything led to Rome. Rome was the world power at the time. And they used to say, you've heard the phrase, all roads lead to Rome, right? It was because it was a connection. It was ways to trade. It was highways, early highways, that they would use to travel about all through the known world. It's the way information got transmitted. Roads were so, so important. And crossroads were really vital, because that's where there was a coming together of things. And so when we look at roads and we look at the Romans road, we're looking at it in context of salvation. And so the first scripture that we want to look at on the Romans road to salvation is Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23. Now this may sound like bad news. This may sound like horrible news. I thought the gospel was good news. We're going to get to that. But it says this: for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If it stopped right here, it would be a dead-end road. Do you hear what I'm saying? It would be horrible. For all have sinned. That means every last one of us have missed the mark to be able to get to that place of salvation with God. Let's go ahead and let's go to the next verse, if you would, please. In Romans 3:11 and also verse 18, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You say, Pastor, that's even worse news. What are you doing? Pastor, we were like talking about the joy in the house of the Lord and a wonderful working miracle God, and now you're talking about this. All have sinned. There's none righteous. No, not one. This is horrible news. I thought you were a gospel preacher. I am. Stay with me. Stay with me. All right, next verse. You're going to get to it. Oh, it feels like it gets worse before it gets better. That's the warning. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, aren't you thankful for the gift? The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's where the good news gets kicked in. You see, just like in the time of Jeremiah, where people were running wild and they had been away from God, and God has the prophet stand up and say, tell the people to ask where the ancient path is. Where is the ancient path? So that I could refresh you. So that I could refresh you. But they refused. They refused. You see, salvation really is a choice. And when we get on the road to salvation, we've got to acknowledge that, hey, I don't know the way there. How many men in this room thought they knew the way somewhere? And their wives actually knew the way. Or Google Maps knew the way, and the husband's like, I don't need Google Maps, I can get there myself. How many have found out that your wife, Google Maps, and if you've ever asked Ron LaCoury, he's a human GPS. He knows how to get there. Anywhere in New York City, Ron knows how to get there. You ask him Brooklyn, he's going to tell you how to get there. He knows it. And you say, how do you know that? Because one day I didn't have a GPS and my phone was not getting a good signal for some reason except for just to be able to talk. And I had done a funeral in Brooklyn. I don't know Brooklyn. And if you've ever been to Brooklyn, Brooklyn's confusing. And so I called up my friend, the human GPS. And I said, Ron, I'm in Brooklyn and I'm lost. Ron says, tell me where you are. Gotta have the Brooklyn come through. And I said, well, I'm looking at a statue and I'm looking at a park. And he says, what's the park name? I told him. He says, I know that I know exactly where you are. He says, now, is there a such and such street nearby? I said, yeah, that's right there. He says, take a right on that street. It's going to get you out on the boulevard. I felt like he was in my car. He knew where he was going. How many know God's word knows where we should be going? When it comes to salvation, the Romans road will get you where you need to go. And so the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's good news. And Ron had good news for me when I was being guided by him. I saw that I was getting near the Brooklyn Bridge. And he says, do you want to pay a toll or do you not want to pay a toll? I said, no toll. He says, okay, listen to me very carefully. He knew exactly how to guide me so that I didn't have a penalty. God knows exactly how to guide us if we'll listen to his word. We don't want to be like the children of Israel, the Israelites of that day who said, oh, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want to look for the ancient road. Because somehow the ancient road is bad. Somehow it's all bad, it's all bad. I mean, I told you last week there are people telling you that, oh, well, there's no hell, you don't need to worry about that. Wait a second. If the Apostle Creed mentions hell in it, as believers, we find that Jesus even talked about hell. There's a real hell. Now, I don't preach hellfire and brimstone. Right? We're not preaching condemnation on somebody, but there's a hell to avoid. So we want to avoid it. If I'm taking directions from Siri or Google, I want to avoid horrible things, right? Well, God has answers. God has answers. So let's look at the next verse. The next verse after Romans chapter 6 and 23. Look at what Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love toward us, that while we were still sinners, while we were still lost, right, Jesus died for us. That's good news. The Bible tells us that it's the goodness and the kindness of God that causes us to draw near to him. It's not the severity of God. Me telling you, oh, you're all going to hell, that's not going to get your attention. Telling you how good God is, and that he has a better way, and that he wants you to live above where you're currently living, in him, internally, in your life, in your spiritual life. But God demonstrates, he demonstrated it, he proved it, right, through his love toward us, that while we were still sinners, in other words, we still weren't having it, we still were living life the way we wanted to live it, without God. In fact, the Apostle Paul, St. Paul, puts it this way. He says, we were without hope and we were without God in the world. But because of his love, we've been transformed. Right? We've been transformed. Once you believe, there is something supernatural that happens. For me, and you hear me refer to it every other sermon, because it's still vital to me. It's still real to me. Just as it was on that hot July day in 1980 when I walked down an aisle, old school, as they sang, Just As I Am, and those songs just play over and over and over in my mind, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. that my Savior would die for me. What is that? God demonstrates his love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that when they started singing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full into his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace." What did I do? I turned my life over to Christ, and I actually believed. I became a believer. Not Christian, Baptist, Christian, Methodist, just because I went to church there. But I actually internalized this verse. I took his love, received it to myself. Next verse. Romans 10, 9 and 10 is the process in which that happens. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So how do you believe? How do you choose to believe? You literally choose to believe. It is a choice. God is not looking for robots to say, "Oh, I'm going to make you believe." Or just because you were born into a Christian family does not mean that you're a Christian. There is a personal choice that comes. Do you believe this? Do you confess this with your mouth? That's why last week when I talked about the Apostles' Creed as a confession, sometimes it's known as the Apostles' Confession. It means you're speaking the same thing. The word confession means I'm speaking the same thing as God is saying. That's what the word confession means. I'm going to say the same thing that God says. So the Bible tells us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, in other words, we believed that Jesus is who he said he is, right? That he really is the Son of God. That he died for our sins, that he was raised from the dead. Because notice what it said, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. What is that talking about? That's talking about John chapter 3 and verse 3. John chapter 3 and verse 3 is when Jesus spoke and he said, "You must be born again." You know, sometimes people get the idea that somehow Billy Graham made up the term being born again, or somehow just the evangelicals believe that. If we study church history, which I do, you find out that there were many, many church leaders and fathers in the faith going all the way back to the first and second century that believed in that term, that you are born again, that you're born of the water and of the Spirit. When it says you're born of the water, it's talking about coming through the natural birth process through your mother. You are born in water. And you are born of the Spirit when you've made a choice to make Jesus your Lord. And so when we look at these scriptures, this is the Romans road, if you will. It's the ancient road. It is a road that is old. It's old school road. It's old school road. It's not just, oh, that's some newfangled idea. Let me tell you, there are some things in this world that are worth hanging on to. There are some things that are worth hanging on to. Old school values of honesty, integrity, character, respect. These are values that never go out of style. Next week when we talk about friendship, friendship that's not fleeting, friendship that's not disposable, These days, you can, on your phone, you know, you can decide to be a friend with somebody, and then you can unfriend them and you can block them. Well, I unfriended him. Really? We've trivialized so much that lasting friendships, lasting relationships, we've made relationships disposable, I should say. We've made them, and if there's no condemnation if you've been divorced. I'm not condemning you today. I'm just saying that what we've made is we've looked for escape hatches in all of our relationships. not just marriage, but in actually just being friends with somebody. When it just kind of gets a little bit touchy, you got to work through a rough patch, we just like block them. And we look for somebody new. And I believe that God has a much better way when it comes to being old school. That you go through thick and thin with people. You ever heard the term, the kids use it sometimes. The other day I was talking with a friend at work, and we were talking about some things, and he says, oh yeah. He said, yeah, some of my friends from church, we're thick as thieves. You ever heard that? In other words, we're committed to each other, right? We're just, that we got a bond. Right? And some of you have friends like that. Some of you have marriages like that. I know that my parents have been married for over 60 years. They're probably watching this morning from Florida, because I doubt they're going to go out in the inclement weather with tropical storm warnings and everything else. But my parents have been married for over 60 years. Our own Ron and Marilyn celebrated 50 years a couple weeks ago. And yes. And that's worth celebrating. Why? Because that's an old school value. Some things never go out of style. Hanging on to the right things, hanging on to truth, hanging on to God's word. Because, you know, Hebrews 4:12 puts it this way: the word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When we look for the ancient paths, we can find what God says in here. We can find it in here. It's not rocket science. There is so much truth in here, so much practical wisdom in here. On Wednesday nights, we've been doing wise guy advice. We've been going through the book of Proverbs. It's taking us forever, but we're going verse by verse in Proverbs. And why? Because there's some amazing wisdom in how to live life. Some things never go out of style. Say old school.
Old school.
Say old school is not bad school. There's some good things in there. Amen. Amen. There's some good things in there. All right. So when we're looking at the old school road, let's remember that God gives us so many wonderful opportunities. I love this in Romans 5:1. Go to the next. Is that on your slide? I don't know if it is. If it's not, that's all right. Romans 5:1. I'm just going to go to it real quick. It says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Peace with God. That's an old school way. When you've taken the Romans road, and I remember when I first got saved, when I first became a Christian, I'm 15 years old. I grew up in the church. I knew about the church. I knew a lot of things. I'd even been baptized when I was 8 because my friends were getting baptized, and that's just kind of what you do. But there was a heart change at 15. Some of the Pentecostals like to put it this way: it stuck. You know, the Pentecostals, they'll say things like, well, he went down to the altar again to give his life to Jesus. Maybe this time it'll stick. That's what they used to say. But for me, at 15, it stuck because it was a real transformation. It was 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 17. If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I understood more about this Romans road. I realized that I was in need. I was in need of a Savior. I was in need of Jesus, because it said all of sin. No matter how good I wasn't going to be good enough unless I had something supernatural from God. And that something supernatural is the gift of God in Romans 6:23. We've already been there, when it says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That was the good news for me. That was good news. Good news. Gospel means good news. If you're listening to somebody and they're not preaching that Jesus loves you so much that he wants to love you right out of hell, then that's not gospel. If all they're doing is condemning you, making you feel guilty, making you feel inferior. Gospel means this, that God wants to justify us. And if you've never heard that word justify, it just means just as if I'd never sinned. Wow. Think about that, what that means. To be a Christian means God looks at you, not the way you look at yourself, because all of us can look in the mirror and go, boy, you blew that. We can condemn ourselves, right? We can say, oh, you really, man, you messed that up. We can have inferiority. We can have all kinds of things going on in our own soulish realm. But God looks at you spirit to spirit and he goes, that's my kid. That's my kid. That's my daughter. That's my son. Because justification means just as if I never sinned. 2 Corinthians 5:17 that I just mentioned. If any man be in Christ, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Aren't you glad? That's why God can tell us that you and me, even with our flaws, you can look at us and go, God can look at us and say, I don't see anything but the blood of my son covering over that child. I see them righteous. I see them holy. I see them without blame. I see them without shame. I see them without inferiority. Get this, as if sin never existed. That's God's plan for us. To be in that state, to be in that restored state of relationship with God. Guess what that does for us? Sin and a consciousness of your sin will make you run from God, but a consciousness of understanding that God loves me unconditionally. That's not how human love is. God loves me unconditionally. And he loves me so much that if I would just believe and receive, I can have this gift, this free gift. Now, if I told you that you were going to get to go to, I'll say it, I'm not prophesying, please do not send me emails, but if I said to you, you're going to get to go to a Subway Series baseball game this fall against the Yankees and the Mets, which could happen for those of you Mets fans, you're hanging on. There could be a Subway World Series. There could be. There could be. Am I right?
Right?
There could be.
That's right.
You baseball fans out there, I see you're... All right. There could be. Could be. Now, if that happened and I said, guess what? I've got great tickets. In fact, I have box tickets that are waiting for you at the will call desk. Now, I have only had the privilege of being invited to a box 2 times in my life at 2 professional sports games. And it was an amazing experience both times. And one was in the old Mets stadium. The other one was at Pro Player Stadium down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. In both situations, I thought, this is how the rich people live. This is not even the expensive seats. This is the air-conditioned box with the hors d'oeuvres and the private bathroom. And when you want to actually experience the game, you just kind of go out of the sliding glass door and sit for a little while. Yeah, it's too hot out there. And you go back inside and the giant screens in the wall and the pushing gourmet food on you and everything else. And you go, wow, this is amazing. If I said I've got box seats to this hypothetical Subway series of the Yankees versus the Mets, if I told you I had them and I want to give them to you, and the only thing you have to do is go pick them up. That's the way God is with salvation. That's the way this Romans road works. You realize, hey, maybe I need the Lord in my life. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about whether or not you call yourself a Baptist, a Charismatic, or a Pentecostal, or a Methodist, or anything else that I didn't even mention. I'm talking about, do you know Jesus? Because the tickets are at God's will call desk to get to heaven. And all you have to do is receive them. You just got to go and receive them. Now, next week when my friend Nick Beret comes, I love my friend Nick. I've known him for, like I said, over 52 years. We have been through all kinds of things as friends. Lived next door to each other. Been at each other's weddings. We're there when family members, and in his case, his father passed away many years ago, and at the funeral. And, we've been through a lot together as friends, as believing friends. What can I pray for you about? And Nick is also probably one of the most generous people I know, too. So one day he called me up. He says, listen, what's your daughter's favorite Christian music group? And this was just several months ago. And I said, favorite music group is For King and Country. For King and Country. If you've never heard them, they got amazing music. And she likes Dante Bo. Now, Dante Bo is also up-and-coming, very, very popular Christian music artist. And both of them were going to be in concert in Hartford. And he says, no problem. I'll get you tickets. Guess what I had to do? I had to make the effort to go down the road, follow the map, in this case, GPS, because I'd never been to the Springfield, Mass Auditorium. Never been there. And went with a friend, and he said, how many tickets you need? I told him 3, because I had a friend drive me. And so we went. And I had to go to the will call desk and just pick up the tickets. That's what I had to do. All I had to do was go and physically pick up the tickets. That's the free gift of God. Salvation is in none other but Jesus. It was Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. It is an old school belief. It's not popular right now. They say church attendance, especially since the pandemic, has literally gone down somewhere around 40%. 40%. I believe we're coming into a day, though, where God is bringing people back. He's bringing people back to an old school way because they're realizing that life is just a mess without Jesus. It really is. In fact, when we were looking at this, in the old school ways, I'm just going to go back to Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 through 18, when it says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. Don't you feel like we're kind of in that day right now? All have turned aside. Together they've become, now this version says worthless, but the actual Greek word there is unproductive. Unproductive. And when we look at the world today, unproductivity, right? Because everybody's fighting each other. All have turned together. They've become unproductive. No one does good, not even one. Their throat's an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. And then it talks about even venom. I mean, it's actually crazy that that's kind of how what's going on in our world today. It says the venom of the asps is under their lips, their mouths full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they've not known. And there's no fear of God before their eyes. Now go back with me to Jeremiah 6. And we're going to close this. Jeremiah 6:16 again. This was the state that Jeremiah was in, right? And he says, stand in the ways, see, and ask for the old path, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I have set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. Today is Rosh Hashanah. Today is also, it is also the Feast of Trumpets. Listen to the sound of the trumpet. And when they said, we'll not listen, therefore hear you nations, and you know, O congregations, what is among them. Hear, O earth. This is a warning. This is a warning. And when we look at this, we say, wow, they didn't listen. But if we, as believers, because we call ourselves believers, if we'll listen, I believe that God is going to use us to be instruments of his goodness, to bring this gift, to tell people, hey, there's some tickets for you at Will Call. There's tickets for you at Will Call. All you have to do is follow the Romans road. Understand that all have sinned. All of us have blown it. Listen, all of us have blown it. All of us have blown it. All of us are imperfect human beings who need a Savior. That's good, isn't it? That's good. I'm reminding us of, maybe this is something that you already know. You're very well versed in it. Maybe you've shared this with people in the past. That's okay. I find out that more and more I realize I can't assume that everybody knows. Because guess what? Everybody doesn't know. Everybody doesn't know the way through Brooklyn the way Ron does. You got to ask. Stand in the way. Lord, show me the way. Show me the way. Show me the way. Show me the way. Pick up your ticket at the Will Call station. When I picked up those tickets with my 13-year-old, and we went there, she was so excited. Because not only did we pick up tickets, but we got VIP passes to see them and meet them backstage. And that was, God always does more than you think. If you'll follow God's Romans road to a place of relationship with Jesus, if I never see you again, if you watch this video one time on Facebook and you never tune in to me again, I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm asking you, would you go pick up your ticket at the Will Call? If you've known Christ, if you've been a prodigal, if you were raised in church and this message kind of is pricking your heart a little bit, it just means you got to pick up your ticket. I might not ever see you again. That's okay. I'll see you in heaven. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is what we want to do. We want to give an opportunity. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I want to give an opportunity for people physically in this place, and maybe if you're online, that you want to receive Christ into your life. You want to pick up your ticket. I remember one time ministering to an elderly lady in her 90s when I worked at an assisted living facility in a wealthy town in Connecticut. She had never heard this Romans road her entire life. Never heard. She went to church, But she, you know, she didn't have any real connection. There was no real heart connection. So I began to talk to her. And about 2 weeks before she actually went to sleep and died, she spoke with me. And I began to talk to her. And I found out she was an avid Yankees fan. Like in her 90s. Avid Yankees fan. And I told her, I said, you want to pick up your ticket at the will call for Jesus? She looked at me with tears in her eyes and she said, I want to pick up the ticket. I said, well, then let's pray together. Let's pick up your ticket. So that's what we're going to do right now. That's what we're going to do right now. If you're here, every head bowed, every eye closed, give people a moment of privacy. If you're here, maybe you've been away from God, and this is an opportunity for you to recommit your life to Him. Maybe you've never really given much thought to it. But today you're saying, you know what? I choose to believe. I choose to believe what Romans 10, 9, and 10 says, that if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, I will be saved. I'll receive Jesus and that right standing with God. We're going to pray out loud together. That way, if somebody is near you, nobody's knowing who's praying that prayer for the first time, who's recommitting their life, it's all private. So right now, if that's you and you say, I'm either recommitting my life to Christ or I'm going to pray this prayer that you're going to lead me through, I'm going to pray this prayer for the first time and I'm going to get born again. If that's you, I want you to lift up your hand in this place. I'll see the hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? All right, let's pray. Father God,
Father God,
I come to you.
You.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I believe in my heart.
In my heart.
That Jesus
is who He said He is.
That He died for my sins.
That He died for my sins.
All of my wrongs.
All of my wrongs.
And that He was raised from the dead.
And He was raised from the dead.
And I receive His love.
And I receive His love.
And His forgiveness.
And His forgiveness.
And I call Jesus.
And I call Jesus.
My Lord.
And my Savior.
In Jesus' name. Amen. A very simple prayer, but that's a life-changing prayer. So right now, if that's you, I want you to make sure you tell at least 3 people before you leave today. I either prayed that prayer for the first time, or I prayed that prayer and I recommitted my life to Christ, and I want you to know it. I would love to be one of those people, but if you're not, if you're not comfortable with that, tell somebody today. Tell somebody today that God touched you. Tell somebody. Now, if you tell me, I'll give you some material that'll help you with your walk with Christ, that'll help you in your new life with Christ. And I encourage you, get into a church that teaches the old ways of God's Bible truths. You say, oh, there's so many different varieties out there, Pastor. There are. And many of them, most of them, are going to be our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's different styles, but they're same belief. Amen? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Let's stand to our feet as we close with our sending out.